This week we head back to 1984 to the world of Fantasia. Wolfgang Peterson's movie adaptation of Michael Ende's bestseller, The Neverending Story, a personal favourite of ours. This week we deep dive this absolute thrill ride. J-Mac, the time has come to deep dive The Neverending Story. How are you feeling?
Actually, fine. One, like when you suggested deep dive in The Neverending Story, I was a bit like, how do you deep dive a Wayne's film? But then the more I thought about it, I was like, nah, there's some good stuff here. There is some substance to it and stuff that could be interpreted in certain ways, so this could be fun.
A child's film. Well, then, I suppose I was a child when I watched it, but I don't think that's at all a child's film.
It's the only film in my DVD collection that's a U.
I can actually see it on the, because we're video chatting right now, I can see it right at the top where it should be. It's no secret to all you guys at home that Jan Dorian and myself are hosting a cinema takeover in Bathgate, West Lothian. That's a place in Scotland where we will take over a local cinema, kind of like the one that Frank owns in Last Action Hero. You know, that creepy guy. His name's Frank, isn't it?
No.
What is it?
Oh my goodness, what is his name?
That crazy old Nick. Guy his mother calls him.
Nick,
that's it. Why did I say Frank? I always get it wrong.
That's his cousin. My second cousin Frank lives here.
That's it. But that's a movie cinema quite similar to that kind of feel. We will be taking over and displaying The Neverending Story in all its glory. You'll hear the ad for that in this episode. So that's coming up. We've also got another few exciting things coming up, but we shall leave that to the masses.
One thing I do want to say about the ad is we spared no expense and actually got a professional voiceover artist to do it for us. So absolutely. Yeah. So you'll be able to tell that when you listen to it. It's absolutely top notch.
Yes, and he also was born in the 80s.
Same birthday as me, funnily enough.
So, diving deeply into The Neverending Story, Jandor, tell the audience just for a second how much Neverending Story movie means to you.
Neverending Story was an absolute... It was the pinnacle of my childhood, man. It was a mainstay. We watched it every day for about 24 years. So... It's a big part of my childhood, and it deserves to be. I've got it playing in the corner of my screen right now, and it holds all the magic that it always has, man. It's one of these. It's timeless, and the thing I really appreciate about a film like this, considering when it was made, is it was so hard to make films like this back then.
Well, in the trivia section of this show, I'm going to talk a little bit about actually how much money went into making that movie. And I've got to agree with you, I grew up every single weekend almost watching The Neverending Story. I think that's because it was on every Sunday. You'd go to your granny's house and there it would be. there's Artax going under the swamp.
we had it on tape with the tab off.
yes. I actually had it on tape with the tab off, right? For anybody the United States or other parts of the world, because we know that there are listeners in other regions. The tab-off meant that it was a cassette tape from the early 90s, and if you took the tab off, you could tape over whichever videotape you were using, the cassette tape, and you would watch it on TV, and you'd hit record and play at the same time, and then you'd have to hit stop for the adverts, because nobody wanted to relive the adverts. And then record and play yet again. And that was literally how we recorded movies. That was pirating before pirating was illegally online.
I've just remembered something. We once rented The Neverending Story from Azad Video. Do you remember Azad?
Oh, yes.
All the boxes that the videos came in. It was like a plain white cover with like an outline of a red lion on it with Azad Video written on it.
How nostalgic. And you know, as I was actually saying there about the Neverending Story, when I had the tab off version of Neverending Story recorded off the TV, which was a blank tape, I actually went into my friend's house, right? And for whatever reason, we were in his cupboard one day, and the Neverending Story videotape case came tumbling out with a lot of other things that was in that cupboard, right? And I picked it up. It had no videotape in it. So I done what any other, you know, child at the age of about 10 done. I traded them like all my best Pokemon cards just for that cassette case. So I officially had a taped video with an official case. Oh, the glory, the joy. Only proper movie buffs who collect movies actually know what that feels like.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Absolutely. As you can see behind me, I do quite like a wee DVD display.
I don't know if you can see mine.
Yeah, I can see yours just.
But I'll show you mine.
It's like, I'm glad that DVDs exist, because trying to do that with VHSs would be a lot harder with double-sided sticky tape.
You see, only the people watching this, which you can't, would be able to understand what Jordan's talking about, but he actually has videotapes. If you imagine, not videotapes, but if you imagine a wallpaper made of DVDs, that's Jordan's cave, which you will see at some point in the near future when we do our live streams. We both have little caves. Jordan's is bigger than mine. But mine has its glory. So, we shall get into the trivia section of this show, where I'd like to just discuss a wee bit of trivia with you, Jordan, regarding the Neverending Story, because for such a movie, there's a lot of stigma around it, and there's a lot of interest in trivia that I'm not too sure that you'll actually know, but it's going to be a hell of a blast talking to you about it, right? So, first thing I want to touch upon is the fact that Wolfgang Peterson said that Noah Hathaway was a complainer, and he didn't enjoy working with Noah Hathaway because he was always complaining, right?
Look what he's doing!
Right, but no, here's the best part of it. Here is the best part of it, right? I'm just going to list off a few things that happened to Noah Hathaway on the set of Neverending Story, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Right, so Noah Hathaway was thrown off Artax, the horse playing Artax. It threw him off, then stood on him, right? Right? Oh. Then, while filming the Swamp of Sadness, his foot got caught in the little elevator that was to lower the horse, and it pulled him underwater. To the point that when they actually got him out, he was unconscious.
And he complained?
He almost lost an eye in the scene where Gmork comes for him in the cave at the end.
Noah half an eye.
Right? Noah half an eye. Because the claw, one of the claws that was in the wolf puppet, nearly went into his eye. And when the wolf puppet actually fell on him, it nearly crushed him. He couldn't breathe. So.
Go back a second. Was that a puppet? You can't
so,
tell.
Wolfgang Peterson, you didn't like working with Noah Hathaway because he complained too much. I'd fucking complain if you nearly killed me about 5 times. For fuck's sake. Yeah, he complained too much, pussy. Like, what the fuck, mate? He nearly died like 5 times.
Oh, that I can see why he would be upset, you know?
No, do you know what? If anything, he should have credited Noah Hathaway for actually being a tank and continuing to film on the set. I mean, we all know what happened on the set of, was it Twilight Zone? Mm. You know, all it takes is one dodgy move and that's it.
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't know, the Twilight Zone, there was a fatal accident where a helicopter came and chopped off a child and a man's head, and then the other kid got squashed by it, and yeah.
Do you know,
that didn't turn out too well.
John Landis was the one that ended up kind of taking the brunt of that whole thing, and there was so many people responsible for it, but he ended up really taking the flak for it, and he still has to put up with crap about it. I was listening to a 80s All Over podcast the other day, and it's a movie podcast where they talk about films from, guess, the 80s, and they go quite in depth about some things, and the guy was telling a story a few years ago. He was on the set of some horror thing and John Landis was there, and there was a guy sitting reading the book about that incident. They wrote a whole book about it and how basically it's John Landis's fault, right? And this guy's deliberately reading this book in front of him, and he's just kind of trying to brush it off, and then John Landis goes to walk by this guy, and this guy's like, "Hey John, can you sign this?" And he's like, "No." So, to be honest, I don't appreciate you basically flaunting that book in front of me. It's something that I've been dealing with for the last 40 years. And I really find reading that in front of me is in really poor taste. So, and then the guy goes, "No, seriously though, can you sign it?" I'm like, "Seriously? No."
What a prick. Arsehole,
eh? I mean, I'm not saying that he should get away scot-free, because he did push the boundaries quite a lot, even during Blues Brothers and stuff like that. He was playing some iffy moves, like, he has to deal with it every single day, and don't need it when you're going to work.
Oh, fuck that. You know, he did make some good movies though, John Landis.
He really did. One of my favourites. Yeah. American Werewolf in London.
Yeah. That was a good
one. Why have we never discussed this film?
Well, there's plenty more time, Jordan. Thank you all the deep dives that are still to come. We actually had a wee bit of fan mail recently from a fella called Jack. It is Jack, definitely wasn't. Yeah. Wasn't Jack, was it?
Jack,
it was.
Jack Logan, yeah, shout out to you, man. From JL Productions, that's J for John, L for Lima, or J for Jack and L for Logan Productions.
Or J for John Landis. We know how that worked out.
Accidental but, segue.
thanks for sending us in some fan mail. Remember, anybody can send us in at jibberjabberscotland@gmail.com. Send us some fan mail. Jack actually requested that we do a Quentin Tarantino, maybe a countdown. I think that's definitely on the cards in the next coming few weeks. Yeah, I know we've got a lot on in regards to planned shows and stuff, but we can definitely get to that. And we appreciate you guys taking time and messaging in and giving us these ideas, because as long as you want to hear it, we'll definitely cover it. But aye, so back to some trivia with the Neverending Story. So, did you know that the Neverending Story was the most expensive movie made at the time in Germany? It cost them £27 million to make... not million pound, it would have been $1 million. What's the currency in Germany back in the 80s?
They still count it in dollars. It was Deutschmarks.
Deutschmarks.
Why is that funny? It's Deutschmarks.
Yeah, Deutschmarks. Reis, Deutschmarks.
Only you would think a Deutschmark is funny.
That's a funny word.
In fact, actually, you're right. Deutsch sounds like something that would come up on the screen in the old Batman series when he punched somebody.
I'm so Deutsch. Deutsch. Mark. Reis.
Or in Captain America, it comes up, wank.
we keep running all over the joint here.
Back to Neverending Story.
27 million. 27 million credits. Tokens. 27 million tokens it cost to make that absolute gem of a movie. And its gross at the end of it all was estimated over 100 million. So I could say, hand on heart, I think it was a success. Not only is it encaved in our childhoods, but it actually made some dara-dara, despite Michael Ende, the author of The Neverending Story, really no liking it. Now, I actually purchased a copy of The Neverending Story, the original book by Michael Ende, and I'm not that far into it, but there's a few things that are different. Have you read the book, John?
No, I haven't.
Well, there are a few differences, which I'm only a little bit in. And if there's anybody at home that has read the full book and wants to tell us a bit more of the differences from what you hear today, jibberjabberscotland@gmail.com, write in, tell us. We'll definitely discuss them in the next show. But Fantasia is not called Fantasia. It's called Fantastica.
I like Fantasia better.
Yeah, it sounds better, but Fantastica is what it's called, right?
sounds like a bad tribute band.
Fantastica. We play the Deutschmarks. We play the Deutschmarks. So it's called Fantastica, and Atreyu's green.
Atreyu's green?
He's green, yeah.
That's a bit...
Oh, yeah. And Bastion's mum's not dead.
Right, so why is he shouting her name? Eh? Eh?
I know. I've not got to that part yet.
Maybe she dies during it, and you've not got to that bit yet.
Do you remember what her name was?
I do,
yes. Let me just do it for you. Here we go.
Yeah, her name was Barbara.
Barbara! They're coming to get you, Barbara! Another 80s. That's no, that was the 70s. That was the 70s, wasn't it?
What?
Oh, you don't know what movie I was saying.
Oh, wait, I bet I do know. Because I don't know, I bet I know it now.
What is it then?
It'll be the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No.
No? All right, sorry.
That's one of my all-time favourites, definitely not that. The movie I'm referring to actually came out in 1968. Sake, man.
1968?
Yes, it's Night of the Living Dead. When Barbara goes up to her mother's grave and her ball bag of a husband's like, "Ooh, Barbara, they're coming to get you, Barbara." And then a zombie literally walks up, like bear hugs him, and then he falls and smashes his head off a gravestone and dies. But yeah, that's
another morbid.
That's another wee
so
bottle.
Basically, what you were saying was that Michael Ende didn't like the film at all.
Absolutely. Fucking hated it.
I think this is just, I haven't looked recently, but there's something in my mind telling me that there's a lot of stuff in the second Never in the story film that is closer to what's in the book, which is strange because the second one is, wow,
it's a fart.
Do you know? I think I just find Jonathan Brandis really hard to watch as well.
He's dead now, eh?
He died of complications from pneumonia, apparently. But
did not hang himself.
Yeah, then he got pneumonia.
After being dead?
I think they kind of caught him before he was dead and tried to bring him back, but then he just ended up snuffing it.
That's a shame.
It's a shame. I think he's in the 27 Club as well. But I never thought he was a good young actor. He was really good at doing this.
Yeah.
Nobody can see me right
now. For anybody that doesn't know what that is, he's doing very shocked face.
Yeah, that's the only face he was ever good at. Doesn't matter what was happening, there's a bit where he drops a sandwich on the floor and he looks like he's just seen a fucking alien. Just like, sandwich drops and he's like that.
Yeah. Like I say, with Never Ending Story 2, if you're going to change the cast, you're going to fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get... The characters were just so different from what the originals were. It just wasn't they right? And I'm not surprised Noah Hathaway didn't make a reprise in part two.
Well, he was too busy making absolute classics like Troll
and like Not Dying.
And learning how to do tattoos, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that part at some point. So Michael Ende was actually not happy with the movie. Did you know that Steven Spielberg actually edited that movie?
He edited it?
Yes. It was like post-production. He'd done some post-production on it. Fact.
All right. No, I did not.
And he gave Wolfgang Peterson a lot of pointers and all that at the time as well. You know, that makes kind of sense why it was so fucking awesome.
Well, like, here's how not to kill your kids on set.
Can he credit himself with that? Yeah,
no.
I suppose he can. Can't he? Has he killed someone on a set?
Spielberg was quite heavily involved in the Twilight Zone thing as well. He just skipped it.
Ah, right. So he probably took the experience of killing someone on the set, clean his hands of it, and then went to Michael Ende and was like, "No, Michael Ende, Wolfgang Peterson," and was like, "Yo, you've nearly killed that kid 5 times. This is how not to do it."
Yeah.
Like, finish the movie fast. What the fuck?
I think John Landis definitely got what was the boy's name? He was definitely the Lee Harvey Oswald of that event.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Anyway, I've not gone back to that again. We'll talk about that if we ever do talk about the Twilight Zone. Any other interesting wee factoids for me?
Well, did you know, based on what I just said there with Steven Spielberg, the original Oren necklace, which I have one, the original Oren necklace is actually in a glass container in Steven Spielberg's office. Did you know that?
Is it?
It was gifted to him for doing his work on the Neverending Story post-production by Wolfgang Peterson.
That's the actual one worn. That's a cool wee... That'd be an awesome wee kind of keepsake. That'd be amazing.
Do you know, how much do you think that would go for on Pawn Stars? I'm going to have a buddy, have a look at this.
What he would say is I think it could be worth anything up to $40,000. And he'd go, okay, I'll give you $200 for it.
Listen, bottom dollar, I'm going to give you a grand for this. I don't see it going any farther.
I said, I got to put it on display. I got to show it in my shop. It might take a while to sell it, you know.
I got to get it framed.
Guys, the total rip-off artist, man.
He totally is. Has a buddy come and have a look at it, who's an extra on some sort of show. Right? Has a buddy come and look at it, and then he frames it and fucking gives him nothing for it.
I'm starting to think that's why it's called Pawn Stars. Obviously, it's a play on the word porn star, but I think it's because they literally just spend the whole thing fucking people.
Helps a fucking look like fucking nice wee segue.
This is not a children's podcast. We're discussing children's movies, and this is not a children's podcast.
As you said, the second movie is more is closer to the book. You're correct, and the reason for that is where the movie ends in the book isn't the end of the book. It continues right through to the second part of the movie.
But that's another story.
Oh, mate! Do you know, right? We're going to take a look behind the curtain at the jibber-jabber here right fucking now, right? But I actually said to myself when writing the notes for this show, and I was like, right, do you know what would be actually amazing? If the ending of this podcast actually has the wee... And then Jordan's like, Kevin Jay went on to host the Cinema Takeover. And they had a successful deep dive, but that's another podcast. Oh, man.
If you want to do that, we'll do it. We'll just edit this bit out.
No, I'm not editing this bit out, but we'll definitely do it.
People will see it coming then. It's not good.
It's fine. Now they're looking forward to it. And I love when you say edit it out, because I just leave it in.
Oh, this man does not know show business.
Oh, I just like it. I like it being raw.
Oh, actually, Kevin, just before we go back to the never ending story, will you please tell the viewers today what you have tried to procure? Because what we've been doing is applying for press passes for events that are kind of basically kind of go along with what we do here. So mostly things like Comic Con or smaller versions of that. But I found something today that I sent to Kevin, and it really piqued his interest. Kevin, will you please explain what this was?
So it's called, and bear in mind, I know they're not listening, right? But I'm definitely coming for them. ScotiaCon, which is a furry convention. A furry. So imagine Falcor, but human-like. Someone dressed up like a fucking teddy, and they all meet. Right. So if fingers crossed, if it goes as well as I want it to, stay tuned. There's some fucking furry-rific entertainment by the Jibber Jabber podcast. I swear to God, I hope this works out.
It's nothing to do with what we ever talk about. I seen it and I thought Kev's going to piss himself at that. I wasn't expecting him to go, I'm getting the passes.
And he's like, please, Kevin, no. But once you see it, you can't unsee it, so I'm going to pursue it. Speaking of furries, Falcor, you can actually go to a place in Germany and sit on the real puppet that was used to play Falcor.
I've seen that, by the way. Is it the real puppet? Because it looks different.
Is it the puppet for the second one? Because everybody looks different in the second movie, do you know what I think?
Do you know what the second movie is like? Remember that program, The Dinosaurs?
Loved it. Yes.
You know, with the wee baby in the high chair and that.
Because it doesn't make sense, right? See Rock Monster in the first one.
Rock Biter.
Rock Biter. In the first one, he's like the size of a fucking skyscraper, right? Because Atreyu looks up at him like he's some big-ass motherfucker, right? In the second one, he's like the size of Bastion. That makes no sense. And then he gets on a steamroller and starts... Get your motor running.
That's the third one.
Hit out on the That's the third one.
With a young Jack Black. That's with Jack
Black and the Nasties.
Yeah.
The Nasties.
Do you know what? That's one thing about that, right? See if the Nasties were the baddies in Fantasia. I would have taken that. Because in the first one, you've got the nothing, right? And then in the third one, if they had bad guys called the Nasties, you can go, right, it's Fantasia, fine. But these are real people at a school called the Nasties.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway, back to the good one.
The original, the 1984 absolute classic. So we we're putting on the Neverending Story in a cinema near us. So I'm going to go ahead right now and let you guys hear the official ad, which you can see on all social media. There's a wee trailer. Buy tickets. Come see it. Here is the ad now.
On Sunday, the 24th of March, join the guys from the Jibber Jabber podcast at Bassgate Cinema as they present a one-off screening of The Neverending Story. Set in a world where books are still made of paper that can magically transport you to other worlds where kids can ride flying Labradors and talk to giant turtles in the mud. Watch in awe as Bastion, a kid with a wild imagination and a mom with an unpronounceable name, delves into the never-ending story, following Atreyu on an epic journey to save Phantasia from nothing. Trust me, it's more exciting than it sounds. So come join us at 10:30 a.m. on March 24th at Bathgate Cinema. Book online or call the book while tickets last. Relive the classic 80s fantasy in all its glory.
So yeah, definitely go check that out. So, Jan Dorian, if you were to explain to someone the Neverending Story before anyone's ever seen it, so you say you meet someone at your work, you ever seen the Neverending Story? Nah, I've never seen the Neverending Story because I'm shite. How would you explain the movie to someone?
It's one of these ones that unless people have seen it when they're a kid, it's really hard to make it sound good. Do you know what I mean?
So the guy, yeah, well, the guy says that in the trailer, that ad you just heard, I mean.
Oh, does he?
Oh, he does. That's why we paid him. I mean, what was said exactly? You could probably do a good impression of him, go for it.
I can't remember what I said now. So what he said.
Breaking the fourth wall. It was something like, you can, we're paper...
In
books
a world,
are still made of paper.
That's it. In a world where books are still made of paper.
and you can fly on big Labradors.
And where kids can fly around on giant Labradors.
And you're being pursued by a big bad guy. Nothing. Trust me, it's better than it sounds.
But that's what you need to do when you're explaining this film to people. You have to say, listen, I know I'm bad at explaining this, but it is better than it sounds. it's basically a wee boy reads a book, the book sucks him into the world, kind of.
Vicariously he's in. He's in there vicariously.
Aye. And like two worlds start to collide a wee bit. There's a wee Native American boy basically.
A trail. But by the way, talk about confusion. When I was a child, a trail was a woman.
A girl. Everybody thought he was a girl because he just had long hair and he was really pretty.
Yeah, and his voice. Like, we all knew a lassie like that.
I mean, watching it now, it's pretty obvious that he's a wee dude. But when you're a kid, you see somebody with perfect hair like that, you're just like, that must be a girl.
Yep.
So, even trying to explain to you, who's seen the film before, even trying to explain to you what the film is really difficult. But if I'm ever talking to somebody that hasn't seen it, which is quite rare, most people have at this point, but occasionally you find somebody that hasn't, and it's just you say just watch it. But I do remember a good few years ago. My friend Lee, I watched it with him at his house, and he didn't like it.
He didn't like it?
No, he thought it was boring. And
what's wrong with him?
He works for Lidl.
I see.
He thought it was boring, and he said nothing really happens in it. But see, if you actually take a step back and look at it in the grand scheme of things, not a lot actually does happen. It's just that they make not a lot happen exciting somehow.
Yeah.
Because don't want to give away too many plot points in case somebody hasn't seen it. Plus,
if you've not seen it,
yeah, if you've not like seen it, buy tickets. Buy tickets.
Oh, buy tickets to our show. Come see it.
And we're hoping to do a wee kind of 5-10 minute kind of talk before it as well. So it'd be nice to actually speak to you guys face to face.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Although most of you know us personally anyway, still. Yeah, I could actually name everybody that's bought a ticket so far. We sold another 3 tickets today.
Did they?
No, I did. I texted Lee that I was just talking about. I texted his wife and said the never-ending story tickets are on sale. She's like, I tried to get them the other day and couldn't find it on the website. I said, it's there now, go get it. And she did.
Nice. Oh, that's good, so, you know. So that's and is she going to drag him along to see it again?
No, no, he's working. It's just her kids that are coming with her.
Oh, that's good, that's good. Look at you go, Mr. Ticket Seller.
Aye, that's always what I dreamed to be.
Well, it's not the world that, it's not the kind of world now that sells tickets, is it? Everybody's downloading and streaming online. Fucking smart asses.
So, are we going to get into this film a little bit?
Well, aye, we are.
Let's go then.
So, Jandor, we're talking about the never-ending story here, right? When I was a child, there was one scene that really stood out to me. And I'm just wondering if it's the same scene that stood out to you. Explain it to me.
Well, there's a couple for me.
Well, come on, the most memorable scene. Which is also going to be covered at the end of the show.
You mean the bit that traumatised every kid that's seen it?
That's the one.
By the way, at that in that sequence, his acting is brilliant.
You think so?
Oh, aye. If we're talking about the same sequence, when Artax meets his end.
Pan-breed.
But if you look at Noah Hathaway, it genuinely looks like he's terrified, probably because he's just nearly died.
It's probably because his foot's stuck in the elevator.
What he's actually doing, he's screaming, ah, my foot, and they've just ADR'd in Artax.
They just dubbed it.
Yeah, technical term is ADR.
God. Yeah. Yeah, he was... Come on, if you don't move, you'll die! Yeah. What's that sound he makes? You know, as the scene, it pans away. As he's like, Artax! And then it kind of accepts it. And then you just hear this groan as the scene changes.
A groan?
It's like...
No, I think he actually shouts, please. But it's just like really high pitch. It's like, please.
Artax is like, no.
So nah, mate, I'm too sad. Fuck it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, for anybody that didn't ever understand that scene, the swamp consumes all that's sad. So if you're sad, the swamp will take you. And I know a lot of you people are like, oh, but it didn't take a tree. No, but it tried to. It tried to, because Atreyu has almost lost. Actually, could have went right, really, really bad for Atreyu had they not met Falcor. Because at one point the swamp's like, "I'll have you, son," and Gamork's like gaining on him to the point that when Falcor comes and, like, definitely not CGI, right? Pops in and just like hands a leg to Atreyu and pulls him out of the swamp. That dog's like, rawr, literally just misses his leg. Oh, can you imagine?
80s movie timing, that's one of the things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what do you think about the way the film pans out? Do you think that this all actually happened, or do you think it's possibly part of Bastion's coping mechanism for the death of his mum?
Realistically, I do believe that it never happened. And, you know, it is quite metaphoric. I mean, so he's got a dad that's unsympathetic as fuck.
Your mom's deep, throw up.
Your mom's deep now, drink your OJ.
I've opened the pickles for you, shut up.
What was it he said right at the start? He talks about, we've got a... just put the old hat back on or something. No,
he said we can't let mum's death stop us from getting the old job done.
The old job done. You've been drawing horses on your book again. They're unicorns. What was that? Nothing.
She also said you haven't been turning in your homework on time.
Yeah, I mean, like, what the fuck? What?
It's like, what? Are you actually moaning at me for not putting my homework in on time when my mum's just snuffed it?
Or for drawing unicorns.
Aye, cut us a bit of slack, eh? You prick.
Thing is, though, and another thing, whose mum's called Moonchild?
The Moon's.
Fucking hell, man. Moonchild.
Obviously, you know, and cheers. Hippie. Obviously, happy. By the way, that could be another explanation for what Bastion's seeing. Maybe he's out his face.
Maybe he's trying to stay close to it. You know, another thing is, like, do you think they deliberately made him shout that so that no one could fucking ever understand him, right? Because the name was so stupid.
They're like,
yo, Michael End said here in the book that Bastion's mum's called Moonchild, yeah. But that's pish. Oh yeah, guys, we need to kind of stick to the source material, bar the boobs on the, you know, the Southern Oracle, right?
Boobs.
But if we stick to this source material, we can still have her named Moonchild, but we just make it unpronounceable.
The thing is, once you know it's Moonchild, you can hear it.
Yes, because he goes, Moonchild.
Aye, it's still a stupid name. There's no.
Yeah, it's fucking daft. As a child, right? Do you know? As an actual child, not a moon child, I used to rewind that bit, play, rewind, play, rewind, play, and all I ever heard was. Well, alright.
you can hear a million things. I remember for years thinking it was like Bonsaia.
You know, I'm sure if you go to Google and just write what. It literally autofills and says, is the name of Bastion's mum and the never-ending story. God.
I think that the film, it never mentions it, it doesn't deep dive into it, but I think that there is every chance that none of this is actually happening, and it is all just in Bastion's mind because he's schizophrenic.
He's a mentally Moonchild. So I do believe that, you know, for an adult watching that, what you take away from it is that, you know, he gets so invested in a story. But then again, what's with the creepy old guy at the start? This book is not for you.
Maybe it was just his way of trying to stop the wee prick for stealing it. Didn't it work?
I know, he's literally a thief. Bastion's a criminal. Hey?
In a world where you can commit larceny.
Yeah, we should have had that.
Yeah, I should have. Also, I did have I meant to put it in the. Sorry, I meant to ask the voiceover guy to put this in the trailer. But the bit where he eats an apple. Whole.
Yes.
He's the whole thing.
What the? Yeah, like, what the fuck?
That freaks me the fuck out, man. You can't eat a whole apple. As soon as my teeth get near the wee bit with the pips in, I'm just like, nah, that's AIDS.
You know. It's Bell's palsy and a fucking fruit. Yeah, absolutely. That always creeped me the fuck out, too. Sandwich looked good, though, huh?
Oh, so, do you know what? Sandwiches on TV always look good. It could literally be a shit sandwich. You're like, ah, Nutella. Could murder some of that.
You know, I'd like to try a wee thing with you. Could we interpret the never-ending story through a different lens completely? Because when you're following Bastion, you're always kind of, you know, he's the protagonist, so you're in his corner. Let's look at it through the eyes of the bookkeeper. So, it's probably the book that I think he was reading, I'm sure. Because it was out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably reading this book and he's like, it's not for you because there's sadness in it, you know, the swamps, the nothing's coming. It's a depressing book. So he's like, this book is not for you. Then the wee shit steals it and runs away with it. Next thing is, and here's another thing for you, right? Being with a Bastion, just interpreting this through his own mind and not being real. Explain Falcor at the end. Chasing the bullies down a street. Or do you think that's him just walking out with a swagger being like, fuck yous, I've had it.
I think that's him really starting to lose his fucking marbles.
Maybe he's just imagining that.
Hi. I don't know. I think, I mean, when you're watching it as a kid, all of it is happening. This is the film is happening as it appears on screen. But it's when you get older, you look at it and go, "Boy's mum's dead. This could all be in his mind." But then you think, well, the bullies see Falco caught it then. But that could just be him imagining the whole thing, like you said. And I think that there is definitely something to be said for the fact that this might not be what it seems to be. This could be a very depressing look into child depression.
Yes. God, well, that took a turn. You mean Falcor's not real?
I'm Jordan. A luck dragon.
Jordan, it's like the never end of story never was.
Actually, talking about the acting in this for a minute here. For child actors, I think they actually do all right. For the most
all
part,
of them do,
there's a few, like especially with Bastion, there's a few hammed up lines. But see the wee girl that played the childlike empress, she never went on to do anything else, and she was probably one of the strongest actors in it.
Yeah, I agree. She was really good. She looked like she was proper bothered that her
proper bothered.
She was proper bothered that like her world was being destroyed, and she was left on a floating rock at the end. Again, if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it to understand what we're talking about. And do you know who else's acting was proper solid? The wee denim thugs, get back in there, chewing 80s chewing gum.
Mama's boy's holding out on us.
Did they not frisk him and take his lunch money at some point?
He didn't have any. So that's why they threw him in the bin.
Oh, aye, because he had a packed lunch.
Aye, and then for some reason that bin in the middle of the city's got hay in it.
I know. Why is there hay in the bin? That's true, eh? Ah, they properly gave him a doing, eh? If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough.
But I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that this film might not be what it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And we look forward to hearing your guys' interpretations. If there's any wee nuggets, as we always call it here on the Jibber Jabber, that you guys would like to add to that, it's at jibberjabberscotland@gmail.com. Write in and tell us a little bit about the Neverend story, maybe how you interpret it, how you interpreted it as a child, if you thought Atreyu was a woman, and if you understood what Bastion's mother's name was.
I'm looking at this bit, right? It's playing on the screen right now. See the bit where the nothing's kind of taking hold at the end, and Atreyu's kind of hanging on for dear life.
Falcor!
Mate, what the fuck? That is clearly a stunt person, right? And what the fuck's with the hair? Looks like, have you seen The Good Dinosaur?
Yes.
Looks like the wee kid in that. So,
God. It's only when you rewatch it as an adult you understand that it's not all that it was cracked up to be. Also, at the scene where Atreyu wakes up because Artax is waking him up, you can see a sugar cube. They dropped a sugar cube, feeding it to the horse in order to make it react.
Oh, no, you're just ruining it, man.
Sorry, mate, but go and look to the left at Treyu's head, and he no-sells it. He literally just goes on, gets on with it.
That's just movie tricks. Everybody has to do these kind of things.
Well, usually they try not to have them on camera, but hey, they only spent £27 million on this, so who needs a proper editor at the end and post it? Who needs that when Germany paid, like in Germany, that was the highest made movie in the budget of that?
Do you know what? I've just came up with quite a good idea. Now, I'll give you this opportunity to edit out if you want. No,
I'm not editing shit out of this.
Yep, that's professionalism for you. I was thinking, like, I've been sitting with this film playing when we've been talking.
Uh-huh.
It could be fun to sit and do this, like, with films that we know quite well, so that we can uh-huh. talk about it as it's happening.
They're called watch-alongs.
Watch-alongs.
And what happens is, you put it out on Twitch, and people, or Facebook or something, and people will watch us watching movies and interpreting them as we see them.
Hmm.
A deep dive could take a deeper dive, so to speak.
That could be fun.
If you guys would like to see that, please let us know in the Jibber Jabber community or at jibberjabberscotland@gmail.com. Let us know, would you be interested in seeing us do a watch along? And if so, which movie would you like to see? If enough of you guys let us know you'd like it, then we'll go and do it.
Yep, we have noticed that the Jibber Jabber community page is growing. We're getting more people coming back. So thanks very much for everybody that's decided to join without being asked.
Same with our wee YouTube. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's getting there.
You guys are spot on. So Jan Dorian, I've often wondered to myself, where are the cast now of the Neverending Story? And I know where they're at. Well, I don't know where they are, but I know stuff about them.
I don't think Noah Hathaway knows where he is.
That's true. So Noah Hathaway, actually, the kid that played Atreyu, he grew up, got muscly as hell, started tattooing people. He actually attends some comic conventions in the US. If we ever got the opportunity to meet Noah Hathaway, I'd probably scream. It'd be an absolute fucking dime for us to meet Noah Hathaway. But I've seen some interviews with him. Seems like a cool guy. Enjoys talking about the Neverending Story. But he's happy enough in his own life. Try to get back into acting, I think. Barrett Oliver, as you explained, kind of looks like a mad scientist now. He reminds me of Joaquin Phoenix when he grew that big ass beard and tried to be a rapper.
Aye, very much so.
Pretty much how he is. I'm sure he's an author now, isn't he?
Hey, photographer.
Photographer, that's right.
He really should stay on the other side of the camera, like.
I mean, look, he wasn't that bad.
But he's a cute wee boy, and he turned into Peter Jackson's dad.
I suppose. So he's done all right. And Tammy Stronach, who played the little childlike empress, she actually does, is it yoga now? She does, eh? She's a yoga instructor.
Doesn't everybody?
So she's a dancer, not a yoga instructor. She has her own dance studio and dances in like different movies. And I'm not sure if there's a lot of movies, but it's more big productions and music videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she looks different now. I mean, she, as a child, she was probably a crush and probably the same as an adult.
I'll tell you what my favourite building material is.
Your what?
My favourite building material.
Build material?
Wed.
Eh?
Wed.
Wed. Oh, alright. only the Scottish folk may get that. Wed. He's basically saying he'd love to fornicate with Tammy Stronach. That's literally what that means. If you don't believe me, ask your Scottish cousin.
No.
Bastion's father, his name is Gerald McRaney. He went on to be in the A-Team movie in 2010. He actually still he's probably got the best career of them all. He's still actually quite active in the acting world out in Hollywood.
When you've got a moustache as good as that.
Eh?
When you've got a moustache as good as that one, it doesn't go away.
It's grey, but it still has it. Obviously, Deep Roy, who was a... what was his name? He was the teeny weenie in the Neverending Story.
Yeah.
Is he pan breed?
I don't think so.
No, he isn't. He's not pan breed. I thought he was pan breed.
Oh no, you've got Being Dead mixed up with Bean and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, too good. I don't know why, but sometimes I just find some of the things you say far more funnier than what they're intended. And that... Oh, can't breathe. Being dead and being... Sorry. Move on, Kevin, move on. So, yeah, they're doing all right. The sequels, Jordan, I think you'll agree with me when I say the sequels were fucking bitch.
Well, I do to a certain extent. I did used to quite like the Neverending Story 2 when I was a kid, but I think it was because it was the Neverending Story 2. It wasn't because it was good. It was because it was the next Neverending Story film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... I might give away all credibility here, any that I might have, but it's not that bad. It's not dreadful.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there, mate.
I've seen a lot worse.
My daughter really likes the Neverending Story, to the point I even got her a matching Oran necklace. I wear one and she wears one, right? My daughter Emily, my oldest daughter, one of two daughters I have, so she absolutely loves watching movies with me. You know how, well, you only have one child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, when you have more children, you'll realise that each of your children, they take different parts of you. So my youngest daughter, she's still to be shown what she likes. My oldest, my son, Harry, he's just a tattyhead like myself. He's got all the boisterous in me. My daughter Emily has the movies. Now, she loves to watch movies that I grew up on, right? She likes movies from nowadays, but one of her favourite things is coming into this cupboard of mine, this wee cave, and checking out my DVD collection. And I'm forever giving her movies like Labyrinth, Mr. Bean collection and all this, right, to watch. She absolutely loves the Neverending Story. Absolutely loved the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we watched the second one. First thing, she's like, they all look different, Dad. And remember, a Atreyu isn't a Atreyu to a 6-year-old, it's a trail.
A trail.
It's a trail, not a Atreyu. I'm like, Emily, it's a Atreyu. Dad, it's a trail. He says a trail. She's definitely called a trail.
have you noticed that the boy that plays Atreyu in the second one looks about 46?
Yes. Does he know the guy that's in, what's that show? Oh, I really liked it. Bloody Fargo.
Oh, I don't know.
Is he not the Indian guy in Fargo?
That's an interesting factoid, if it's true.
It was a joke, but it went right over your head.
I've not seen all of Fargo yet. Just going back, you mentioned Labyrinth a second ago, and Labyrinth is another one that we've got in mind for showing at the cinema if this show in the Neverending Story goes well. So please, please, please spread the word. Buy your tickets. Get there on the 24th of March, 10:30 in the morning, Bathgate Cinema, and we'll sit and watch this.
What he's basically saying is, if we don't sell enough, well, there's not going to be a second one, so buy tickets now.
We're looking at hopefully doing a lot of films for our childhood, and if the family stuff goes well, then we'll start looking at showing more kind of adult-based stuff, not porn, but... Like, we're going to start with things like Labyrinth, maybe The Goonies,
E.T.
Stuff, E.T., stuff like that, stuff of that ilk. And then if that goes well, we can maybe do things like The Terminator and Predator and...
Rocky.
Absolutely. Rocky 4. I'd love to see Rocky 4 in the cinema.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yes. One for the world. No, but definitely Rocky 4.
Rocky 4 in the cinema would be amazing.
If he lives, he lives. If he dies, he dies.
Even hearing the Rocky IV theme being played live was cool.
Oh, beautiful. Check them out at the Synth Lords. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They've got a podcast called Korg Cast. And at some point very soon, we will be having them on the Jibber Jabber and hopefully doing something with them in the future as well. In regards to other stuff that we shall not talk about quite yet, but definitely check out the Synth Lords. Outstanding. So, Neverending Story 2. Bish. I'm just going to have to disagree with you that, mate. Wasn't great.
That's fine. We're allowed to do that on here.
Even like the childlike Empress reminds me of. You ever watched Dennis? The movie Dennis.
Yeah.
Do you remember that bitch that makes him kiss the doll's bum?
Yeah.
That's the childlike Margaret. Empress in part 2.
Do you know?
Yes.
I just watched Dennis the other day, and I've got a very interesting fact about the film Dennis for you.
I'll go for it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Dennis was, well, actually, it's called Dennis the Menace in America because
they
never had the Beano. So,
yeah.
Dennis was directed by a man named Nick Castle.
Uh-huh.
Do you recognise that name?
Nick Castle.
Don't type it in, you cheating fuck.
right, okay. Rings a bell.
Nick Castle was the man who played Michael Myers in the original Halloween.
That's who he is. He never played Michael Myers, he played The Shape.
Yes, he played The Shape. Michael Myers.
The Shape. Oh, wow.
Cool, eh?
That's amazing. He made Dennis.
Yep.
Fucking one extreme to another, eh?
Oh, here comes the wee kid with the Jufro pointing at the sky. Chat.
Bloody hell.
The wee kid in the middle looks like Jonah Hill.
For everybody at home listening to this podcast that you can't see, Jordan's still watching the Neverending Story as we talk about it. Neverending Story 3 was more entertaining for me, but I kind of took it as a movie on its own. I didn't relate it to the first Neverending Story, I just kind of kept it in the same universe for me, because sometimes, like, movies can be shit, but for me, if I can find a place for it in my head to not relate it to what I love, then I can accept it. Does that make sense to you, Jandor?
Absolutely. Sometimes you need to do that, and it's the only way to get through a fucking terrible film.
Yes, because I believe that you can take a movie, like, some movies don't need to be sequels. A great idea doesn't have to be a sequel. If you could just take that idea and put it into something with new characters, then you've got a hell of a movie.
Sorry, man, I was just watching these boys jumping into that bin to get away from Falcor, and they just go completely arse over tit. That must have hurt.
Fucking hell, mate.
Anyway.
Where was I?
We were discussing the sequels briefly. Also, there is supposed to be a remake in the works.
Yes, that's exactly where we're literally is my next note. It literally was where I was going to head to. A remake of The Neverending Story. I'd be up for it, but like I says, it wouldn't touch anything from the original for me. But I'd be up for it. I could imagine the CGI would be far better. The Nothing would probably be played by fucking Melissa McCarthy.
Not bad.
Who could you see playing a Atreyu?
Atreyu.
They probably would make it a girl, eh? She'd be black with an afro.
Right, Atreyette. Who would?
And would identify as a man.
Or a dog. Actually, that's an interesting question. Who could you see playing Bastion? It'll be all the kids for Stranger Things. I swear to fuck, that's what
it'll be.
Every
one of them.
Single kid for Stranger Things, and then Gaten Marazzo can play a wee monster.
Yeah, he could play Gamork.
Have you seen that thing he can do with his shoulders?
Say it again.
You seen that thing that boy can do with his shoulders?
No, what can he do?
Gaten Marazzo, he was born without collarbones. So he pushes his shoulders forward and he claps them right there.
Fucking hell.
It's weird.
It's funny, if you go to our YouTube page, you'll see that we actually had interviews with Gaten Marazzo. We filmed him doing a set with his sister down in Manchester. Just a wee tidbit there for you if you want to head to our Jibber Jabber YouTube, Jibber Jabber podcast on YouTube, or tinyurl.com/... www.tinyurl.com/jibberjabberyoutube. Check that out. But my pick for Bastion, I would say Sebastian. And you know who really, for me, would be a good Bastion? Not Bastion, Atreyu. Why did I say Bastion? Fuck's sake. Bastion would probably be played well by, you know, the kid that plays Mike. Is it Mike? In Stranger Things, you're right. The kid that was in It.
It says Finn Wolfhard or something.
Finn, that's right. He'd probably be a good Bastion. But for me, Atreyu, Will Poulter. The kid from... for me, I always remember him in Son of Rambo. But he was really good in Bandersnatch.
Yes, he was good in Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch! Pac-Man Bandersnatch!
It's all trivial, what do you think? Really.
Yeah. What do you think? I think he'd play a really good Atreyu. Grow his hair out.
No, he's too old.
You don't?
Man. He's too old. Atreyu's a kid. Will Poulter's about 40.
No, he's not.
He's a bit younger than me. He must be, I think he's either 20, he's 25, 26, something like that.
He was born in 93, so he'll be 25, coming on 26.
Yep. He's too old.
No, he'll be 26 now because he was in January.
He's way too old. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or they could do something really cool and introduce new actors. Not enough of that happens, I think.
Yeah. I do have one other film that I'd love to do this with if this goes well.
What?
Masters of the Universe.
Oh, like this. For contextual purposes, you mean the cinema takeover?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much. So much we could do.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, but you guys need to make it happen. If you guys don't make it happen, we can't. So
yes, go buy tickets. Buy a ticket.
The tickets are £4.99 plus a 75 pence booking fee, which brings it to, Kevin?
£5.74.
Excellent. £5.74 a ticket, and you get to experience these films the way they should have been experienced. Come along, get it watched, get it paid.
Get some popcorn. You can actually buy some beer if you fancy it. It will be a Sunday afternoon, so you know.
Sunday
get
morning.
Get rid of the blues for going. Well, yeah. Get rid of the blues. It actually starts at 10:30, so 10:30 a.m. If you guys fancy having some alcohol just to get rid of the blues, knowing that you're going back to work on the Monday, then that's fine. So before we wrap up, Jan Dorian, what do you think the importance of Neverending Story has been to pop culture?
Pop culture. See, that's a tough one because I don't really think it's got much of an effect on pop culture today. Really. The only people that are keeping it alive are people like us. Because I think it could easily fade into obscurity, which would be a fucking sin. Because it is a really, really, really good film. I mean, it's a big film studio. It's Warner Brothers. There's no reason for this film to go unnoticed. But it needs people like us to put the effort into making sure it gets shown. And like I said, the thing about these films for me is I can sit and watch The Neverending Story now, and it still feels more magical to me than watching anything that come out with now, because I know how hard it was to make films like that back then. I said it at the start of the podcast, but the amount of effort that I had to go into making films like that with their special effects and practical effects, it's a piece of piss now. It's a piece of piss to the point where I don't even think there should be an Oscar nomination for visual effects, because it's such a piece of piss.
Spoken like a true visual effects artist.
I mean, it's basically all you need is money. You don't need any imagination. That's what it feels like to me.
Whereas you're right.
With these films, even films like look at things like Krull and even kind of shittier ones like Red Sonja and stuff like that. They still required a lot more effort to actually get these.
Logan's Run.
Don't even mention Logan's fucking run.
Logan's Run's awesome.
It sounds like something you'd have. I'm not coming out today, man. I've got the Logan runs.
he tries to trade like a hand jewel for a couple of cats. How can that be so bad? I agree with you. It's not an important piece of pop culture. However, there are always references in certain TV shows and stuff like Family Guy. Everybody will always remember The Neverending Story as that movie where you ride a fucking flying Labrador chasing bullies with it, you know. And let's not talk about the jokes, the pedo jokes for Falcor.
No, let's not, because it is ridiculously creepy.
Absolutely bloody little. So we're going to go to a memorable scene for yourself, Jordan.
I'm going to go with Do you know what it is for me? This sounds so stupid, but see just the starting credits with that song.
Oh mate, beautiful. I cannot wait for that in the cinema.
I can't even wait. Just see for like the windy noise that it starts with. I cannot wait to see that on the big screen.
Mate,
it just takes me right back to being like five.
So, yep. Absolutely. That's the whole point.
That and the obviously Artax dying was still fucking brutal.
You know, for me, my memorable scene will always be "Get him, Falcor!" Right right at the end where they chase the bullies, man. Such a feel-good moment. You were sitting there, 5-year-old at home, I was, with my fists scrunched going, yeah, you show them, Falco, you show them. So excited for Falco come bursting through the streets chasing the bullies. I was like, yeah, how do you like it? You get in that garbage can. How do you like it? For sure. For me, that's that. What about your memorable quote?
He made it!
He made it! I always said he could do it! That's no reason for you to go falling out of the basket again! Ah, wench!
To the winch, wench! Sorry,
I get too carried away. Is that really your memorable quote?
Actually, I do like the bit at the start in the bookshop when he's just like... When he's like,
have you ever been Captain Nemo? Trapped inside your submarine while a giant squid is attacking you.
And he's like, he but it's terrifying. Only a story. And he's like, that's what I'm talking about.
The books you read are safe.
Mate. Well, first off, well done. But fucking, what kind of bookteller is that? Scaring the shit out of him, man.
Well, he made it clear when he walks in, get out of here, I don't like kids. So I've got a feeling he was told to say that by his parole officer.
Oh man, God. Do you know one of my favourite parts, and it's not my most memorable quote, but it's definitely a favourable one for me, and when he goes, some people see themselves and run away screaming.
Screaming!
That's with his beard in this scene. His mad one tooth.
Screaming!
Mate, imagine you're like a Atreyu's age, right? And you get picked up by a flying dog, and you see these two motherfuckers walking towards you with a fucking pot of soup.
He's awake! Mate, they were terrifying!
Fucking terrifying! Imagine that guy looking at you through a window. Like, whose idea was it to put them in a kids movie?
They actually could have put that wee guy on the fucking wing of the plane in Twilight Zone.
They could have. Oh man, so 5 stars, how many stars do you give this?
We know where this is going.
Yeah.
It's getting 5 stars. The thing is, I think if we were, see, we are not movie critics and we're not pretending to be movie critics. What we are
absolutely
is consumers, and we like to just give an honest opinion of what we think about films. In my mind, I give it 5 stars, but I know if a critic was to look at it, they'd give it 5, they'd give it like 3 or 2.5 even. But
fuck
just
critic.
Purely for nostalgia and fun, I'm going to give it 5.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to see it in the big screen. 5 is exactly my star system also. I'd give it more if we had more stars. And again, this is why we deep dive this episode, because we want to get you guys in the mood for the Neverending Story, because we will be hosting the Neverending Story at the Jibber Jabber Presents Cinema Takeover in Bathgate Cinema, West Lothian, here in Scotland. For all you guys that are local to us, make sure to come along on the 24th of March.
Yeah, and don't take it literally, by the way. It's called the Neverending Story, but it's only on for 1.5 hours, so don't worry.
All right, we'll end. Definitely come along, check it out, buy your tickets on the door, but we do encourage you to buy them online. If you can buy them online, which you can find all the links on our social media, or head to bathgatecinema.com, Google Bathgate Cinema, go to What's On, scroll right to the bottom, there you'll see it, Neverending Story, 1 showing, 10:30, click on it, buy your tickets. If you can buy them, preferably before, there's only 100 seats, so make sure to buy the tickets before... Jordan definitely did not show me a piece of paper there saying 100 seats. That did not happen, right? But there is only 100 seats. So this will sell out, there's no question. So don't expect to turn up on the day and be able to buy a ticket. Buy them online to secure your seat. And if this goes well, maybe you'll have part 2 of the cinema takeover. And maybe we'll get to a point where it's a regular thing. And you guys can come and vote on the Jibber Jabber community. You can actually vote for what you want to see in the cinema. Imagine if we said to you, we are giving you the power to tell us what you want to see in the cinema because you never saw it on the big screen. Imagine just getting that opportunity to go back and watch things on the big screen that you never got a chance to because you were too young.
Mm-hmm.
Or bring your kids to see something you saw on the big screen and share that moment with them. That's absolutely what the cinema takeover is all about.
We've already had people making suggestions on the Jibber Jabber community page and on the actual ad for the cinema about other things they'd like to see. And certainly we don't have a problem asking for these things, but we need you guys to come along.
Uh-huh. Also, not everything that you guys vote for is a given. We have to actually get the rights from the companies. So we do actually have the rights to warrant from Warner Brothers. Do you know, a wee fact for you guys. This episode, you've probably been hearing the Neverending Story music throughout it. We actually have the rights to do that. We have the rights to actually advertise using the copyrighted music from Warner Brothers, and we had to seek the rights to play the movie from Warner Brothers on Sunday the 24th of March, and we secured that. So we went to the trouble to do that, to set up meetings to make this thing a possibility. So please buy your tickets, come, and let's take this cinema takeover journey together, because we're not just taking over the cinema, you are. And on that note, make sure to check out our social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, you can find us on Instagram. We have our own YouTube channel. We're sitting at nearly 50 videos. We continuously put out our comic conventions. We cover those. Our interviews with celebrities, TV stars. We
look out for the furry convention.
Look out for the furry convention for sure. We have a mini-series show with short recommendations called Watch This, where Jordan and I talk about movies that you guys should watch. Go ahead, check that out. Subscribe, like, follow us, vote on the deep dives, stay tuned in a couple of days and you'll hear our latest jibber jabber. You can also view them on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, even YouTube. You can find us everywhere, just Jibber Jabber Podcast, everywhere! Anything you'd like to say in closing, Jan Dorian?
Yeah, also, if you've got the time, excuse me, frog in my throat, rabbit! if you've got the time, if and when you actually do book your tickets for this, just drop us a wee line and let us know you've done it, just so we can gauge how it's going.
There will also be competitions and prizes coming very, very soon.
That is true.
You knew that, Jordan.
That is true,
yes. You did know that.
Yeah.
So you can win prizes related to the movies. So please stay updated, like our Facebook, everywhere else, follow us. Get on board, because you guys are not going to want to miss it. So thanks for tuning into the Deep Dive this week. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we shall see you on the flip side.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Boundaries of Fantasia.
Do you know when they are?
I have no idea.
Then how do we find a human child?
With luck.
Faster, Falcor, faster! We have to hurry.
All right, hang on tight.
We hope you've enjoyed this deep dive. Kev and Jay will have many more to come, but that's another episode.